Blog Talk Radio.
Flash it! New thing! This is the song. Got two lyrics. Very simple and plain. We can all sing together. No ass to feel left out. Join in. This is a song that people need to be singing right about now. When they're telling you that you can't, you shouldn't, you won't.
Once again, keeping it in the spirit of the Lord, the God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Tonight, a special treat. We're going to always keep it real, keep it 100 Jesus on this show, 100 Jesus. No compromising, no bending over backwards, no nothing, because we know the truth. Tonight, we're going to do a little Bible study because it's time to get back into the Word. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to try to celebrate what is real. It's time to put away old things and bring something new. You know, on my on our show, I said my show, but I need to be more broad. It's our show. What we bring into our lives is what we will receive. Ladies and gentlemen, it is times like these, and I'm talking specific time and space. I'm not talking about the moment. Time and space. You see, yesterday we talked about Ephesians, and how the Ephesians were. Now we're going to look at the Philippians. and how the Philippians were in time and space. Ladies and gentlemen, if you take the context of the Bible and say that the Bible is not real, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you one thing that may be very peculiar, because we are a peculiar people who believe in Jesus. This is very peculiar. Why is it so hard for people to absorb the Bible for the truths of what it is, and you have so many others trying to discredit the Bible, but the Bible is still the number one seller around the world each year since the beginning of its production? Ladies and gentlemen, it could be out of curiosity. It could be from the unknown. But one thing that is true is that Satan does not want you to know the truth. Now, when we divulge the truth of what the word is, we know that we must have love, first of all. This is the whole meaning of it. You see, when you're in an ideal state of anger, hate, zealousness, jealousness, all these things, there is no love. You see, if our God that we serve was one that was like that all the time, ladies and gentlemen, he would not have set us aside. But there is one who loves you every time you bring up the dirty, the filthy, because he knows that you're not doing the basis of what our Father tells us to do. It's to love, the foundation of who we are. You may not love a lot of people, you think, but I'm sure you love someone in your life. And if that one experience of whatever that love may be to you, there's many types of love. Many types. There's three types of love, okay? Now, think about how that love that you feel of that person. And in that love, ladies and gentlemen, it's a beautiful thing. Then Jesus requires us to have just one more thing. Just one more. He says, you have to have faith. Ladies and gentlemen, you just have to have a little faith. Just a little bit. He's not asking for much. Love people and have faith in what he has said in the Bible. What can the devil give you that is more delicious than that? Oh, baby, he can give you everything your heart desires. You could have money. You could have riches. You could be famous. You could have all the drugs and alcohol you want. You could do all this stuff. And we know, ladies and gentlemen, the desires of our body and our flesh is so impressionable. It's so impressionable. But the thing is this, though, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this. Jesus can forgive you for all of that by just simply saying, God, forgive my sins, for I have sinned. And booyah, you are blessed. Now, the walk with Jesus. The walk with Jesus. Let's just take the walk. Before we get into this, it just gets me excited to talk about it. The walk with Jesus requires you to know who Jesus is. Jesus doesn't come over to you and forces you to fall in love with his spirit, the spirit of love that's already within you. Jesus simply says, you come with open mind and an open heart, and you shall find what you are seeking. Once you are baptized, you have entered the realm of being able to enter the kingdom. Receiving the Holy Spirit to cultivate and escalate the spiritual gifts that have been already put in you but not have been developed. So now you have been baptized in the name of Jesus, doing the commission that Jesus Christ has told his apostles and the disciples to do forth. Then he tells you to just love. Ladies and gentlemen, that's beautiful. We are fleshly. There's nobody on this planet, no one on this planet in the flesh that will never sin. You could be a preacher, a pastor, a bishop, a pope, it doesn't matter. You will commit sins. But the best thing about that, ladies and gentlemen, it can be wiped away with a couple of words, and you still could enter the kingdom of heaven. It is people who continue to drag the baggage. And Satan will use that to manipulate you, to tell you that Jesus don't want you. But ladies and gentlemen, that is so far from the truth. And we're going to get into it because Paul tells the Philippians, hey, listen, there's some things going on, but stay strong. Stay strong. And that's my encouragement for you today, ladies and gentlemen. I am so blessed and so excited. So without further ado, I'm going to kick it in. We're not going to do the Ephesians because we did it yesterday, but we will start with a prayer. So let me do something for y'all that I know y'all gonna love. Lord, let me find it. I wasn't even thinking about it, but we gonna utter in the spirit tonight. We gonna do it. Hey, we gotta bring Jesus in this. And I'm telling you, it's about to kick off, ladies and gentlemen. Just bear with me just a second so I can find the song. Oh, here it is. Now I want y'all to just give me a second. Let's usher in the spirit.
Hallelujah.
Come on,
let's have a little church like that.
Something about that magic.
Oh,
hey.
Listen.
Something about that magic.
Come on.
right. Thank you very much. That was Brother Kirk Franklin. Something about the name Jesus. And love the song. Spirit was moving. Lord God, we come to you in the name of Jesus. You are the healer, the love of our lives, the head of all beginning, O God. You have stepped into the future to ordain our path, no matter how we may see our lives, whether it's successful or if we feel that we are failing, Heavenly Father. You know our journey from the beginning to the end. You know every count of hair on our heads. You know our minds before we even think them, Lord God. We ask you, Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, who has risen from the dead to give us life. Through your blood, we are saved. Through your grace and mercy, Heavenly Father, there is no one above thee. You are the Alpha and the Omega. We ask you right now, in the name of Jesus, to give us the decrease as you will get the increase, and that we will receive what is true through your wisdom, through your knowledge, through this vessel, Heavenly Father, that I do your will for your people to ordain what you have done for this day that you have set aside just for this moment, Heavenly Father. We thank you for everything you have done for us. We ask you for those who have not asked them for the sins they have committed to forgive themselves. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we ask you to bless them and uplift them no matter where they are at this point in time in their life. We ask you for blessings. We ask you for mercy. And we ask you to continue to walk with us as we do this journey. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, there is something about the name Jesus. It is the sweetest thing I know. The sweetest thing I know. Let's get started. I'm just excited tonight. We're going to start talking about the epistle of Paul's letter to the Philippians. See, the Philippians is... it says Paul has visited the Philippians for the first time on his second missionary journey. It was the first congregation in Europe. The biblical scholars suggest that it was written by Apostle Paul to the church, to the early Greek church, which we just said. Now, these Philippians, okay, I just want to give you a little background on where they're from, okay? These Philippians are at that point in time, are from Greece. And they are in they was in a city of Macedonia, and it was established by Philip II in 356 BC, and abandoned in 1400s. But this is where this is the eastern part of the Macedonia part of Greece. So if you want to go and do your own studies and try to get a better grip and understanding about where this specifically is, do so. But I just want to give you a little background on that. You see, difficulty in keeping people encouraged. Let's go on and hit this first, because I do not want to skip out on anything that that you may need. I'm going to be reading from the New King James Version. It says, Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are the Philippi, with the bishops and the deacons. Okay, now, at this point, ladies and gentlemen, it's very important that you understand what Paul and Timothy is doing is simply giving reference to the bishops and the deacons that are running the church in in Macedonia right now, in Greece, okay? So this is his open statement. And so now we can assume that the Philippians are babes, but it is the first church has already been established. So they've already got people ordained to do things. So Paul, who is a disciple at this time, is still giving that love back to the early church so they continue to go forward and be encouraged. Verse 2, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my Jesus upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for our fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of his very thing that we have, which have begun a good work in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as when we meet for the first time, to think this of you and all, because I have in you my heart, and as much as both in my bonds and in the defense and the confirmance of the gospel, ye all are partakers of the grace. For Jesus is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in the knowledge and in all your judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the grace and the prayers of God. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the unfortunate of the gospel, so that my bonds in Jesus are manifest in all the palace and in all the other places, and many of our brothers in the Lord waxing confident by my bonds are much more bold to speak of the words without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and also in goodwill. 16. Then one preach Christ of content, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Nothing withstanding every way, whether in presence or in truth, Christ is preached, and therein do rejoice, and I say will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayers and the supply of the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectations and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all my boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be manifested in my body, whether it be life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is to gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruits of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I will not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and having to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, I abide in the flesh, is more needful for me, for you. 25. having this confidence, I know that I shall abide in the continuing with you all for the furtherance and the joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Christ, Jesus Christ, for me, by me coming to you again. Only let your conversations be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or either be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of Christ, of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your advertisers, which is to them that events told are predicted by, but to you of salvation and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but to also suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which ye saw in me and now here to be in me. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Apostle Paul right here giving them a quick tap or lashing and also comforting at the same time. You see, because all he's saying to them, listen, there's going to be bumps in the road. There's going to be bumps in the road. What you are hearing of me and the things that are happening to me, don't be afraid to continue the walk of Christ. Let this that is happening to me, that you hear of me, strengthen you. You see, let me explain something so you get what's going on, ladies and gentlemen. Let's go back. You know, I'm not going to even use slavery. I'm going to use the pilgrims. Okay, let's use the pilgrims. The pilgrims gathered their things and gathered money in order to come to America. Some of them were kicked out of England. Some of them had other reasons to go to America, okay? But nevertheless, they were here. And so the journey from Europe to America across the Atlantic Ocean was very rough. And so they would write stories of what was to come for the people who would follow in their footsteps. And for some people, that could be very scary. And to get to America finally, then you have to establish work, and you would have to establish a home and so forth. And so now, the people who have traveled have wrote journals, have wrote ledgers or whatnot, and sent it back to their loved ones, or you made it public. And so now that journey becomes very scary. So what Paul was trying to tell them, listen, my afflictions that are happening to me that you hear, listen, do not be afraid. Know that Jesus Christ has me. He says in 16, he says, the one preach Christ of content, not sincerely, supposing to add afflictions to my bonds. He is trying to tell them, listen, don't worry about what's going to happen to me. Don't worry. He wants you to preach. Christ is the preached, and therein do rejoice, and ye will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayers and your supplication through the Christ Jesus. So, I mean, he is telling them right there, but the sweetness of it is in the next couple of verses. He says, according to my earnest expectations and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, and that with all boldness as always, so now I also, Christ shall be manifested in my body, whether I be by life or by death. So, And that sentence is such, it's so rich, ladies and gentlemen. And if you don't really understand it, I'll try to explain it to the best possible way. Everybody knows Geronimo. He's the most famous Apache warrior there ever was. And Geronimo would rather have given his life than to be put into chains and taken away. And he done, according to the stories that we, I don't know if they're real or not, but according to the stories, he was somewhat of an invincible man, and the Native Americans rallied behind that because he represented the spirit of the Native Americans. So let me put it in a Christian way. Paul was saying, listen, I have done crazy things in my lifetime. I have persecuted Jews. I have killed Jews. But God has taken me out of that and turned my body and my life around to give you pleasure, the Gentiles, pleasure in understanding the world and the kingdom of Christ. For my body and my boldness is still me, but the magnification of who I am only comes from the rejoicing and the salvation of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And it doesn't matter if I'm alive or dead, because in verse 21 he says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is to gain. 22, but if I live in flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose I will not. 23, this is the kicker right here. That I love it, and it should give all Christians hope about this. When you think about fear, don't think about fear. Think about this. Verse 23, he says, for I am in strength betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, I abide in the flesh. It's more needful for you. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm saying this right now to you. What I talk about on my shows, ladies and gentlemen, is for you. I've already made the choice that I needed to make. Paul has made his choice. He has firmly, unbowedly, boldly made his decision that he will not give up his belief in Christ, no matter what the Romans do to them. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the time now, in this space and time, that we need as Christians to stand firm and say, I know that you want me to fear death. I know you want me to be afraid because you're going to kill my family. But listen, listen to what Paul says. This is what he says. He says, But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose, I walk not. For I am in strength betwixt two, having the desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. He wants to be with Christ, but right now Christ wants him to be with us. With the Philippians is what he's saying. Beautiful. I'm going to move on to chapter 2, Philippians 2. If there be any consolation to Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, in any bowels or mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. I'm going to stop there real quick because it is really hard sometimes to fathom one accord. I don't know how many churches people have been in, and I don't know how many church sessions they have been in, but when it's time to usher in the Spirit of God and people are really trying to give themselves, to give their flesh up and go into the spirit so we can go on to a higher plane, ladies and gentlemen. It's difficult to go to a higher plane if you're looking around, looking at everybody else, thinking that everybody else is crazy. So when the usherance, let's go back to Acts, the book of Acts, the second chapter. When all these people were on, all disciples were on one accord, and all the people around them that were being baptized were all filled with the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, and the fire, it was like fire that shot through their bones, ladies and gentlemen, and they were speaking of one tongue, and the people could understand them. And it was, that small measure. So when you think about going to a meeting and we pray that we all be one accord, let's not let flesh get in the way with the Spirit of God. I'm just going to say that. Number three, let nothing be done there through strife or vainglory, but in the lowest of the mind, let each esteem each other, each better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let their mind be in you, and which was also in Christ, who being in the form of Jesus, through it's not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of a reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death of the cross. Okay, let me rewind this for you. Let's take a deeper look into this. Now, what Paul is trying to explain to the Philippians is first of all, he tells them, hey, we need to be on one accord, in love and in the spirit. Then we have to be of like mind, thinking in the right way. So in verse 6, he says, who being in the form of Jesus, through it not robbery to be equal to Jesus. Okay, so now I need y'all to focus real and go from the small box into the big box. Okay, what Paul was saying is when God came down to earth to be Jesus Christ, from the form of the Heavenly Father to Jesus Christ in the body of a human being, he is saying that he humbled himself from the heavenly of hosts to the mere lower person on this planet, a servant. And so as a servant and another servant being equal, Jesus took his title away and became equal as man. So when he says, don't think about you not being able to be as the same as Jesus or as the Lord, because he gave us that opportunity to be equal as him. Because think about this, ladies and gentlemen, in order for Jesus to know how it feels to be human, he could never do that in the spirit. He does not know what it means to be, he doesn't know what it feels to be flesh and blood. He doesn't know what death is. Ladies and gentlemen, he is the Alpha and the Omega. How does he die? He doesn't. So what he had to do was transform himself into a host of human being, experience life as a servant. Paul says in verse 7, he says, but make himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. Number 8, he said, for being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on the cross. Now, you have to understand, Paul said, he was obedient unto death. Ladies and gentlemen, we all know when he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane that he was having problems giving himself up. But he said, Lord, let thy will be done. He restrained himself. And in order to die, listen, ladies and gentlemen, and it's very important that you understand this. In order to die, then that was an extended blessing and mercy that he's given to us. So when you experience, listen, I'm sitting here. Listen, I want you to listen to me very closely. When I was in Iraq, I had people die around me. Death to me is a very serious thing. It's hard for me to sometimes grasp when people pass. So I'm not sitting here trying to be bulletproof, because I'm not, because death still hurts me, but I understand it. You see, we have to go to the other side. This is just a temporary body. Okay, so let's go, I'll explain to that later in the session as we get later on. Okay, so we'll go to number 9. Wherefore God, I said Jesus, or Jehovah, also hath higher exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, very specifically, I need y'all to pay attention to this. This is verse 9 again. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. What does that mean, George? That means there is no name greater than Jesus. Listen very closely. Watch this. Verse 10. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow of things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth. Okay. Basically, what Paul said was Philippians. Jesus is higher than the angels. Jesus is higher than everything on earth. And Jesus is above every fallen angel or demon or Satan or Lucifer himself. That's what he's saying. And in 11, he says, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, and the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in the presence only, but now much more in the absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Ladies and gentlemen, that is what I've been saying. You've got to work out that fear and trembling. Work it out. Because Paul is saying this. This is what I need to explain to you. Real quick story. I've said this so many times. When I was in the Army and I was a young soldier, an NCO came up to us and says, tell me what discipline is. And everybody said their usual thing, you know, what discipline, by, you know, discipline. And so he said, this is what I think discipline is. To do the right thing without anybody looking at you, or doing the right thing when nobody else is around. Paul is saying the same exact thing. He's saying, listen, my brethren, as ye have always obeyed, you've always obeyed what I said, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. When he said it gone, are you still going to continue what you're saying that you're going to do? work out your own salvation, because Paul is not going to be here to save you, to encourage you, to strengthen you, to be there, to uplift you, to wipe your tears away, to feed you. He won't be there. He says you've got to work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. You know why he said that, ladies and gentlemen? Because the devil has a way to get to us through fear. He has a way to manipulate your mind on things that makes you feel bad about your salvation. But Paul is coming with, he's given you list. We're going to work it through. God bless you. Verse 13, for it is God which worketh in both the will and to do of his pleasure, good pleasure. 14, do all things without murmuring or disputing. Listen, this is the most important thing, ladies and gentlemen. I think it's an important thing, not the most important, but it's one of those most important things. We learn when we're little to kind of, you know, be like, man, I can't believe it's my turn again. You know. For example, if you're older brother and sister, you got to take your little brother and sister to the bathroom, or you got to put your sister to bed, or, you know, your mom asks you to wash the dishes, and we always, oh, man, come on, I wish you. As adults, we still have that. You know, we still have that mentality sometimes. You know, we're at work and be like, listen, I'm sitting here doing, working on my work. John's not doing anything. Can you ask John to do it, please? Because I need to finish up this. You see what I'm saying? So, in a sense, we kind of put that in our DNA, where we, you know, in our behavior patterns, where we have this. We don't necessarily voluntarily do it. It's kind of like an involuntary thing, like us blinking the eyes, you know. And it's like when God asks you to do something, or your pastor asks you to do something, or something in the church needs to be done, do it on good accord. Do it with the passion that you know that's why he says his good pleasure. Do it, just do it because you know God wants whatever to be done. And I'm not saying that I don't do it, but I try very hard not to do that. So that, at 14, we need to work on that this week, y'all. We need to work on that, okay? Murmuring and disputing. All right. 15, that ye may be blameless and harmless of the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of the crock and the provision nations, among whom ye shall shine as lights in the world. Okay, now we've talked about this yesterday in depth. So when he says that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God. He's talking about the angels. It doesn't matter if it's a fallen angel or a good angel, a heavenly angel. because when Abram, when Abram was talking to the three angels that came down, he immediately knew who they were, and he entertain them. When Gabriel came and talked to the Virgin Mary in her dream, and also Joseph, though they entertained them in their dreams, we don't know who we may entertain. So when we are being asked to do something, the sons of hosts that are heavenly won't rebuke us. And then while we are walking the walk that we should be walking, we will be blameless and harmless. For example, a person who is an upright citizen and something happens to them, what is the first thing they say about this person? Oh, no way. Billy he could no way have done that. He is a good husband. He goes to church. He does these. And so what they're doing is they're putting in a repertoire for him, saying that he is blameless. He is harmless. He does not do anything that is not of God. You see, so that is your character they are trying to display. They are displaying the attributes of your character. So Paul is saying to this to the Philippians, he's saying, hey, listen, when it is time to go out into the world and we're not in the church, and you've got to go out and you've got to face those people that you have to work for, like your boss, or you got to go see the mayor, or you got to go see the chaplain, or you got to go see the president. These people that are in the midst of the corrupt and the provision of the nation, of whom you must be the light of the world. So you have to be something a little bit more special, set aside, a peculiar person. And we are those people. I mean, there's a lot of people who are like that. Verse 16, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not ran in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be afforded upon the sacrifice and serve of your faith, I joy and rejoice with it all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy shortly unto you, that I also may be in good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all sake with your own, not these things which Jesus Christ, but ye know the proof of him, that as a son of the son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel. Him, therefore, I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. Yet I suppose it is necessary to send you Epaphras, my brother and companion in the labor, and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministers to my wants. Okay, so I'm going to go to that long name, and I'm trying to pronounce it as best I can. he is Epaphras. He is in the New Testament, figure of the church. He was regarded as an Orthodox church and the Catholic Church, the first bishop of the Philippi, in the Arcadia of the Asia Minor, and the first bishop of Tarsus in Italy. So this person right here, ladies and gentlemen, is how can I say this where people can understand? The church is already, when we're thinking about the church right now, we're thinking about the church and don't have no place to be. And I know I'm speaking some ghetto right now, but y'all thinking that there's no church, but the church now has already been established. They are building churches. And so as you can see, he is the first bishop of the church in Greece. Okay? He's the first bishop in Greece. And we'll get to that in a second. He is long after you, and was full of heavenlessness, because that ye have heard that he has been sick. For indeed he was sick, nay, unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not only him only, but on me also, lest I shall have sorrow unto sorrow. I sent him therefore to more carefully, that when ye see him again, ye may rejoice, and that I may be in the lesser sorrow. Receive him, therefore, in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation, because for the work of Christ he was nay unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service towards him. Amen to that. Chapter 3. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord to write the same things to you, to me, indeed, in your and is not grievous. But if you, it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the conscience. For we are the circumcised, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Jesus Christ, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I may also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he have whereof he might trust in the flesh, I am more circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and a Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law and the Pharisees. Okay, so so in this what I'm laughing, y'all, because you know Paul's a real go-getter. He's one of those hard-headed men, and he's being a little facetious in this part, because he's trying to tell the Philippians. He says, listen, there's gonna be some people out there that that's not gonna be too friendly with you, okay? And they're gonna come to you, right, talking about we circumcised or we're part of this. All right? He's saying there's gonna be some snakes in where y'all gonna be abounded by. I'm not saying in the church, but just in the gatherings that they may have. But he says this. He says, have no confidence in the flesh. Through I may also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he had it, whereas he might trust in the flesh, and more. Check this out. Here's Paul puffing. He's puffing up his chest, okay, because you know how he is in the Second Corinthians. He's puffing up his chest now. He's like, okay, let me tell you who I am. If you want to talk about who I am, and I'm talking in the flesh right now, because I was talking to y'all in the spirit, listen who I am. He said, I'm circumcised on the eighth day. I am the stock of Israel. I am from the tribe of Benjamin. I am Hebrew of the Hebrews. I as a touch of the law. I even am a Pharisee. So hold up. You don't have to ask who I am. This is who I am. And so as you can see, I'm laughing. I kind of think it's kind of humorous. But he's telling them, listen, it doesn't matter who they are, what they carry, or what their titles are. You have to be understanding of who you are. Know that you are a child of God. That's why he said, for we are circumcised, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. So don't worry about it. Just do what you are. Be who you are in Christ Jesus, because I know who I am, and I can start throwing around my titles if I want to. So I just thought that was pretty, I got a little chuckle off of that. Yeah, forgive me if you didn't think that was kind of funny. Verse 6, concerning zeal, persecution of the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, though those I counted less from Christ, ye doubtless, and I count all things but less for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the least of all things, and do count them but dung what I had, in that I may win Christ. And verse 9, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ and the righteousness which is of God by my faith. Okay, so I need to explain that those four things. It's basically what I said about what when he was puffing up his chest in verse 5. He was saying, I was all these things, but I was nothing. I was nothing until I knew the excellent knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, whom which I have suffered the less of all things, and do count them, but done that I am may win Christ, and found it in him, not having known own righteousness, which is the law, and that which is through the faith of Christ and the righteousness which is of God my faith. So it's that division that they have in the Jewish culture, who believes in Jesus and who don't believe in Jesus, do not believe in Jesus. So it's that one thing where he says that when he was a Pharisee, he believed in the law, he studied the law, he knew the law. But it wasn't until the connection that he was granted through the faith of Jesus Christ that he became righteous through God. It was only through God that he was able to get that, and it was only through his faith that he received righteousness. And so the difference is Paul the Pharisees and Paul the Saul, S-A-U-L, the Pharisees, and Paul the apostle are two different people of the flesh. Excuse me, the same person of the flesh, but two people of the spirit. He dismissed some of his beliefs as a Pharisees and gave his own faith unto God and everything that God has taught him thus far. Verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his savoring, by made comfortable unto my death, if by my means I may obtain unto the suffering of the death, not as though I have already obtained either what already is perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that it is also I am an apprehended of Christ Jesus. 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehendance, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which is behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. So that's basically what I'm saying. He said he's put that away. Now he's gaining for more knowledge. He put the old Saul Pharisees away, and he is now looking at the Apostle Paul, the disciple of Christ. 14. I press forward for the mark, for the prize of high calling of Christ, of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal, Jehovah shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already obtained, let us walk by the same rules. Let us minds by the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. 18. For many walk of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weepingly, that they are enemies of the cross. Oh, Lord have mercy. See, this is why Paul is building them up, because he just said this. Check this out. He said, for many walk of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross, whom end in destruction, those God is their belly, and those glory in their shame, whose mind earthly things, for our conversation is in heaven, from whom also we look for salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. 21. Who shall change our veiled body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the works whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Man, that's deep. Chapter 4. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longing for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearest, dearly beloved. I beseech Ethasen, and beseech Sachich, that they be of the same mind of the Lord. Now, let me tell you who those people are, okay? The meaning of the Eudara, means unclean or possibly sweet fragrance, perseverance of journey. And the other one was Sivite, means fortune, and literally it means with fate. People, they were mentioned into the New Testament. They were female members of the church in Philippi. And according to the text, they were involved in disagreement together, whom was writing generally to reveal the misgivings of the internal disunity will severely undermine the church. Beseech the two women and to agree to the Lord. Despite the clear contents and gender agreement, the quarrel appeared to be between a man and a woman, according to some sources. These historic theories that the male was a gallier, and that was his wife. Some theories reject the modern thing about it. I'm not going to get into the rest of it because it's kind of, you know, I'm shaky and they don't know the truth of the matter is. But nevertheless, there was a disagreement between them. And the word beseech means, this is coming from Merriam Webster Dictionary.com. Beseech means, the first definition, it means to beg for urgently or anxiety. And the second means to request earnestly. So Paul is asking them earnestly to that they be of the same mind in the Lord. That's basically what he's saying. 3, and entreat those also, trust yoke fellow, help those women which labor in me in the gospel with Clement also, and in the other fellow laborers of whom the name in the box of the life. Okay, so when my research came out, Clemens was the first bishop, was the first pope, according to some people. So that's why Clement is also mentioned, and also was said to be the brother with the fellow work laborer. In verse 4, he said, "Research in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderations be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there are any virtue, and if there are any praises and things, those things which I have both learned and received, heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at the less your care of him, less of care of me, have flourished again, wherein ye were able to be careful because ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state that I am, therewith is I am content. And so that's what you have to understand too, ladies and gentlemen, is whatever state that you are in, be content in it. And the reason why he said it like that is because at that point in time, that is where God wants you to be. Sometimes we want to be out of it sooner than what we are, but we are in a time and we are in a season. So always remember that. I'll bring that up again in this week. Number 12, I know both how to be abased and I know how to be abound. Everywhere and in all things I are instructed both to be full and also to be hungry, both to be abound and to also to suffer needs. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Notwithstanding ye have well done, that ye do communicate with your affliction, with my afflictions. Now ye Philippians, know also that the beginning of the gospel, which I have departed from Macedonia, no church communications with me as concerning giving or receiving, but ye only, for even in Phrygias ye sent once and again unto my necessities, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruits that may abide to your account. But I have all and abide. I am full, having received received of Amphilethus the things in which were sent from you, and an ardor of sweet smells, a sacrifice acceptable, will pleasing of God. But my God shall supply all the needs according to his riches in the glory of Jesus Christ. Now unto God and your Father be glorious forever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus, the brethren which are with we meet you. 22. All the saints salute you, chiefly they are of Caesar's household. 23. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. And ladies and gentlemen, that concludes the Bible study for tonight. I thank you for listening, and we'll close out with a prayer. Lord God, thank you for everything you have done for us. We ask you to continue to give us the understanding through the Spirit, O God, that we be uplifted and stand fast unto your word. And give us love, peace, and mercy, O God, in all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The next time I see you, ladies and gentlemen, you should be sounding off.